Yes, guys, what's good? You tuned into Mango Masala. I'm Gerns. I'm here with Halima.
Hey, everyone.
And it's I'm sad we're stuck inside. I wish we could be outside right now.
Oh, if we could find a way to bring the studio outside, that would be fantastic.
Yeah. You need like to have like what's it called, remote microphones, and be able to just
maybe we should try and do that at some point this year. Yeah. Inshallah, if we keep getting like nice weather.
I love how that's our goal for the year, like, not like guests or like let's get this many followers. It's like, let's just try and do an episode outside.
Yeah, like in the British climate, that is an achievement to be able to do something like that.
True, but it actually is really nice, and it's been nice all this week. So I hope that you've actually been enjoying it and not having to complain for once.
Yes, it's been amazing this week. Oh my god, I went to the Peak District on Thursday. And like every 2 minutes, I'm just like, God, I'm so happy. I'm so like, I literally feel like I have a different brain inside my head, like, because the weather's nice. It's crazy.
Really SAD in it.
Bro, the way that's how you know the SAD here has been kicking. Oh, we could swear now.
Yeah.
The SAD has been kicking my ass. And you only, like, sometimes you feel like, oh, okay, it's not like, oh, I'm just a bit down, like, because of the weather. And then, like, you get one little ray of sunshine and you're like, oh, I feel like a whole new different person. You don't realize that your will to increase just goes like that.
You are like, oh, that's what I've been missing.
Yeah.
That's what it's been. Yeah.
Oh, God.
And it's sad. I feel like tomorrow, like, recording this on Saturday the 12th, I feel like tomorrow it's going.
But we've had consistently good weather, I would say, for like a fortnight now. But apparently next week it's coming to an end.
Sad times, but take it while it's here. Anyway,
oh my god, Carlos.
Looking at the weather app right now,
oh, it's just raining
at
every
least,
day.
You know what? At least it's not overly cold.
I was just about to say, it's still like 14 April showers, isn't it? Oh, but to be fair, I'll take it, because we've had, like I said, it has actually been like 2 weeks consistently of good, like, pretty great weather. And also sunsets at 8 p.m.
I do feel like Mayanka's family, we did like the really British thing the other day of like, right, sun's out, barbecue, here we go. It was on Thursday. And then we were actually there at like 8 p.m. and we were like, you know what, it's actually quite cold. Like, just because the sun's out, let's do it. And then we were there and it's like, actually, maybe we overstepped.
Well, I think you know what it is. Yet. It's still that kind of weather where it's warm when you're in the sun.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the sun goes behind a cloud or whatever, like, you're like, oh wait, damn, I'm still in England.
Yeah.
So you should do it in the day where you get a spot where you're in the sun and then it feels really warm.
Bad Vibes Island is teasing us.
It is.
Yeah. I would say I'm getting away from it, but I'm not. Literally, the holiday that I've got coming up at the end of the month is the Lake District. So
Lake District is lovely, though. I go like a few times every year. I love the Lake District. Whereabouts are you going?
Don't know. Okay. It's just one of the ones where it's like, we're kind of just going to this Airbnb in middle of nowhere vibes.
Friends. Oh, that's so nice. You guys always do little trips away together, don't you?
We used to do it really regularly, because there was actually, and it's actually really cool, because not around this time, but summer 2015, so 10 years ago, that was the first time that we kind of went away, and it was to the Lake District. So it's kind of nice that still 10 years later, let's go back.
It's with the same circle of friends. That's a flex.
Yeah. Minus a few. You
know, oh, really? Like, is it? Okay,
yeah. We lost a few along the way, but you know.
You know who you are.
Yeah, if you're listening. But yeah, should be nice. And it's always funny because we always end up in the most random situations. Like, it was literally last time we were in the Lake District.
Yeah.
We ended up in this like cabin thing that was right next to a church. And there was literally like, I think it was a load of like a kids camp or something. So there were loads of kids there and this priest just wandering around. So we named it like Percy the Priest. And it's so funny because this place just got booked by one of us, and I'm going to be honest, I didn't probably look into it, because I was just like, right, let's do it. Yes, let's do it. And then I went in and looked, because I was getting excited about it. And then I was, tell me why, literally, as far as the window is away, it's next door to a church. Like, full on stained glass windows and everything. And the funny thing is, it's a hot tub. So it's literally like you're in the hot tub, and it's right next to the church.
But did it have a graveyard? You know how some churches have graveyards?
Thankfully, I don't think there is, but that's the thing as well. The second time we went away, we went to Wales, and again, we were opposite a graveyard.
I think
the second night, we ended up just telling a load of like ghost stories. And honestly, I think I was all right, but then everyone else was like, that was the worst night's sleep ever. Yeah. Like, yeah. fun times.
It is actually fun times. I love going away with like friends and family and stuff.
Yeah.
I love a cheeky staycation.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like part of the reason why we didn't do it for a while was because COVID. It kind of just, that stopped the ability to do that for a while, and then we never really got back on it.
Mm.
But yeah, we went abroad last year, so that was nice.
Oh yeah, you and did. Then,
yes, obviously not abroad this time, but it'll still be
no, nice Lake District, times. I love, go to Buttermere. That's like one of my favourite places. It's one of my favourite places. The Buttermere Circular Walk, it's stunning, it's gorgeous, and it's not that difficult either. Like, it's pretty flat terrain.
Nice. Yeah, I really want to do, like, I think even they were saying we want to do more, like, walky stings.
Oh, go to Buttermere, honestly. It's like really maximum rewards, minimal effort.
Okay, got it. I'll see how far it is from where we actually are.
Yeah. Oh, the Lake District is massive.
Yeah, literally.
Because the bottom of the Lake District for me is about like
Preston, kind
two,
of.
Like. 2 hours, like just above Preston, yeah, like sub 2 hours. And then like the higher end, it could be like 3.5 hours. It's huge.
Yeah. Right, well, enough reminiscing and talking about the weather, let's get into this week, which has been relatively quiet, I want to say, so I'll take it. But there have been a couple of things that I think is worth us discussing. First of all, I don't know, have you been watching Big Brother?
I haven't, but I think I've seen the controversy with the JoJo
contestants on Big Brother. Like, have you seen the lineup for it?
I didn't even know it was on. That's how out of the loop I am.
I think it's all right lineup.
Who's in it?
People that you will know. Do you know JoJo Siwa?
Yeah.
Yeah, so she was on Dance Moms, I think, and then she is like a singer now, performer.
Oh, well, I know that girl from Tao is on it.
Yeah, I don't know who she is, but
I watched
Tao,
so I know.
What did you say?
I watched Tao, so I know.
Right, okay. Tao person's in there. Chris Hughes from Love Island, you know, the one that was with Olivia Atwood for a while.
Oh!
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, he seems all right. And then
I really love this feature in your guys' house, this little nook. Was it there before?
This?
Yeah.
Where do you think you've been sitting this whole time?
I never noticed it as like a little nook, like a little box.
Literally, you've been sitting here for the past like 4 years and you were only just noticing that. Oh,
but it's
wait.
It's like a little box.
Yeah, the lights weren't always there.
That's what's made it feel more like a little cozy little nook. Yeah. It's nice that. Anyway, right. Sorry, go on.
Going back to the lineup. Chris Hughes, David Platt from Corrie, you know, Gail's son.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Who else? You got the ex-Tory MP, the one that looks like he wears a wig. The blonde, really blonde hair. Yeah, him. Bianca from EastEnders.
Yeah, but I saw that clip on TikTok where she asked him, why are you wearing a wig?
Yeah, I don't think he took it very well.
Oh, that's so funny.
Something I didn't know that he's gay, which I found out through this.
Oh, right.
It's interesting. Danny Beard, the drag queen. Anyone else? And obviously, oh yeah, Angelica Bell. Do you remember from Newsround?
Yeah,
that's cool. And then obviously this guy, Mickey Rourke, who honestly...
I didn't know who he was.
Yeah, I had no idea who this person is. Apparently they're a boxer slash actor from America in the 70s. The controversy kicked off, I think it was literally like the first day. So basically, Hollywood actor Mickey Rourke has been given a formal warning for using offensive and unacceptable language towards artist, dancer, JoJo Siwa in Celebrity Big Brother.
What was the word he used? Was it the F word?
Yeah. So the way this transpired, because there's actually a lot more to it than just homophobia, but we'll get into that. Mm. First off, as they were walking outside, he asked her if she was gay, to which she was like, yeah. And he was like, oh yeah, I could tell. Which is a bit like, okay. Interesting. I don't know how you would, like, but yeah. And then later he said, if I stay longer than 4 days, you won't be gay anymore.
That sounds like a threat.
Well, it gets more threat-like, because obviously her response to that was to shut it down and be like, no, I think I'll be all right. I'll still be in a happy relationship and gay, blah, blah, blah. And then he said something about tying her up.
Oh my God. That's a threat.
Literally, is that not a threat?
If a man said that to me, I wouldn't be like, oh, he's joking. Like, those are words. Mm. I would be genuinely threatened. My first thought as a woman would be, that's what his intention is to do that. Mm. Like, those are pretty clear intentions to me.
Yeah, but then following that, they were later having, he brought up a conversation about who's going to vote out who, which I don't think even allowed to do on Big Brother anyway, but that's the least of the problems here. And he was like, I'm going to vote out the lesbian, which is clearly like
pejorative. Like,
yeah, right. Okay. She's a lesbian. So yeah. I've got no use for her. Yeah. So bye bye. And that's before you even get to the fact of like, I'm going to vote out the lesbian, to which her response, because she overheard it, she was like, if that's your reasoning, that's homophobic.
Yeah. And also to just refer to her like that, like she's not going around saying, I'm going to, oh, you're the straight.
Yeah.
Like it's, you know her name. Like, yeah. She's her name.
Yeah, exactly. Like you've literally just met
her. It's not just, you know what, to me, it's not just homophobia. That's giving misogyny to me as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. I think let's like go through all of it and then we can unpack it because this is the issue that I've been seeing. He then took it even further and was like, I need an F word. I'm not talking about you. As in, because he was in the smoking area. So it's, again, it's at that point I was like,
she called him up for homophobia. He said, oh, you've seen nothing yet.
Literally.
Called out the big slur.
This is the thing, like, I think to a certain extent elderly people's mindsets can be not excused, but I can also understand how they might be ignorant to certain things. But that, after that many, like, instances of whatever, like, for you to still say the F word.
Yeah, that wasn't like a one-off, like you said, it kind of unknowingly in an innocent, old-timey kind of way.
Yeah.
But also, having said that, like, he is, like, a celebrity, obviously. He would have had some level of media training.
Yeah.
And, like, especially going into this house, I'm sure he knew what the contestants were.
Yeah,
it's similar. I'm sure he would have had the media training to know, like, you're going to be on television, like, don't be saying... Don't say this, don't say that, blah, 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 blah. Like,
yeah, it's similar to what you were saying a couple of weeks ago about not necessarily giving people as much grace
right.
as, like, not giving them more grace than they deserve, basically. Right. So it was, but then it was following that, him saying the F word, that he was issued a formal warning by Big Brother and later apologised to JoJo. And I think the issue I've had with this is that
I think the threatening bit is more scary.
Obviously... homophobia is horrible and wrong, and he should have been called out on that. If only that had happened, he should have been called out on that. Yeah. But the fact that he wasn't earlier called out about saying that, like, I'm going to turn you straight. Yeah. That to me is like, why?
That's because that's violence.
Yeah,
like, I'm going to tie you up.
Yeah,
and you're not going to be gay anymore. That's isn't that, like, for me, that sounds very like a rape threat.
Yeah. Let's not sugarcoat it.
Yeah, it sounds like a sexually violent threat. And something like that is not... You can't give a warning against something like that. Like,
yeah, would that to me, would that not be grounds? I mean, even the homophobia should potentially be grounds
to get rid of him. Absolutely.
But, like, if not that, then surely the threat of, like, actual physical violence.
Exactly.
Yeah, which to me... I don't know. And that's before you even take into consideration, it would be horrible in any circumstance, but also the age difference. She's like only 21.
Yeah, that's a massive power dynamic there. Yeah. This person is clearly exploiting. And that's what I mean when I say, like, I don't think it's just it is homophobia, but it's not just homophobia. I think there's a big level of misogyny here as well. And that is emboldened by this power dynamic because of their ages.
Yeah.
And he shouldn't be on there.
Yeah, his response to it was, I can see how it like might have been taken the wrong way. I thought it was funny, blah blah blah, and he apologized. But
I don't know anyone who would take that in any way other than like this is threatening.
Yeah,
like I don't know any woman who would listen to a man telling him that he's going to tie her up and forcefully change her sexuality as like anything that is beyond a threat.
Yeah, yeah. So he's still in the house. It was actually Michael Fabricant who got voted out, which, if I'm correct, actually, I think he said he's bisexual, not gay, so let me correct that. Okay. But, yeah, he got voted out first. So they're still both in there. And I also wanted to ask your opinion on... It's hard to, but if we were to completely ignore the impact of what this has on JoJo Siwa, because that should be the forefront of this, should be like, she is literally... in this really uncomfortable and threatening situation.
You can't leave as well. Like,
exactly.
That.
Like, very, very much, like, trapped. Yeah. If we are to take that aside, which I know is, like, hard and shouldn't be done, is there actually any positive from seeing someone, like, being called out for using such language, etc., on TV? Or is it more the opposite of it actually emboldens people to do it?
I think it's a good process to see this process of like reprimanding. But the problem here is that I don't believe he's been sufficiently reprimanded. So actually in this situation, I feel like it might end up causing more harm. He essentially got a slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
When really what he did is like sexually threatened and was homophobic. And I feel like the only way for that to have any kind of positive impact is to see like a full set of consequences, as in he's been suspended from the show as a result of that. I think if anything, that might act more as a deterrent. But to half ass a discipline, I think might actually end up emboldening people, because they might think, oh, well, it's not that deep, is it? I'll just get away with a slap wrist. People don't take homophobia and like sexual violence threats like very seriously.
Yeah. It does seem a bit like double standardy as well, because ITV in the past, do you remember ages ago with Love Island, where I think his name's Shaquille, it was Molly May's season, he was a black man who was on Love Island at the beginning. Sharif, that's it. Sharif was on Love Island the same season as Molly May, and I think they had some kind of play fight, and he made an inappropriate comment during it, and he was literally just removed, like, straight away. And I think it's just, where is the line here? Yeah. And who's deciding what the line is? And is it because Love Island is meant to be just couples arguing, but Big Brother to like these big media corporations is, oh, let's cause drama and this is good TV, blah, blah, blah.
The line is Sharif was like an unknown black man and this guy is like a white male celebrity.
Yeah.
I think that's the line in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say.
Oh, we don't have to say allegedly anymore. Say whatever the fuck I want.
Oh, dear. You know what? Is it still good practice not to take the piss?
Yeah, you know what? It's ingrained. Yeah, it's ingrained anyway, because I literally just want, in my opinion.
Yeah, maybe for social clips as well.
Yeah. Oh God, don't want all the flipping keyboard warriors. You know,
What's been interesting to see is that Chris Hughes has actually seemed to be JoJo's biggest ally.
Like, they seem I think he's always been really good vibes.
Yeah.
I've always really liked him, because I remember when he was going out with Jessie Nelson and I think I saw clips of it on social media. I think she had like a documentary about like her, she had like some kind of eating disorder.
Her time in the limelight and how people were like attacking her.
Just remember he was being like really, really nice, really lovely, like really supportive. I've always really liked him.
Yeah. I think my thing with him is that I think there have been things in the past where it has been like semi-Tory vibes, like the way they
used has it? Oh, I didn't know that, for God's sake.
No, but just like, I can't remember what it was.
But if you're picking up on it, I would have picked up on it.
No, but obviously he's literally been on TV for like nearly 8 years.
Oh, that's crazy.
So, I don't know, I used to kind of be a bit like, meh. But like, also, I also have seen like good vibes, and he's also raised a lot of awareness about like testicular cancer as well. Like, he literally got his ball out on this morning and was like, yeah, had a testicular exam, like live on live TV, so he seems to be all right vibes, at least now, and he seems to also be the main person that was sticking up for JoJo, so yeah, credit where it's due. Right, on to the next thing. Did you hear about the Labour MPs that got deported?
Detained.
Detained and then deported.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking from this country.
Yeah.
That would have been interesting.
That would have been very interesting.
But basically, two Labour MPs were denied entry to Israel and deported after being accused of planning to spread anti-Israel hatred. According to a statement from the Israeli Immigration Ministry, Yuan Yang and Abtasim Mohammed were rejected because they were suspected of plans to document the activities of security forces and spread anti-Israel hatred. Israel's UK embassy said the MPs were denied entry because they had accused Israel of false claims, were actively involved in promoting sanctions against Israeli ministers, and supported campaigns aimed at boycotting the state of Israel.
Wait, why were they there in the first place?
So they had travelled there to visit humanitarian aid projects and communities in the West Bank with UK charity partners who have lots of experience in taking parliamentary delegates over there. I think
it's just interesting, isn't it?
I mean, from the get-go, it's like, if you haven't got anything to hide, why do you care?
Yeah, absolutely. They're documenting their security forces activities.
Yeah.
Okay, what's wrong with that?
Because the whole, like, spreading anti-Israel hate.
You're doing that all yourself for yourself, mate.
Well, the thing is, like, if we looked at it, like, they can do that from anywhere in the world, right? If anyone wanted to spread anti-Israel propaganda, if we're going to call it that, they could do that from anywhere. The only difference here is that they can get photographic evidence.
Right.
So exactly. if there's nothing to actually expose here, then what's the issue?
Exactly.
So
it's just funny. I wonder, has David Lammy said anything about it?
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing that's been quite, I don't want to say amusing, but basically David Lammy, as Foreign Secretary, has said it was unacceptable, counterproductive, and deeply concerning that two British MPs on parliamentary delegation to Israel have been detained and refused entry by the Israeli authorities. And it's kind of like, what did you think was going to happen?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you have basically been licking Israel's ass this past, like, 2 years.
No, but that's why it's so funny, because it's like, you think you're the exception. Like, you think they're your mates, they're not your mates.
Yeah.
They're not your mates, and you'll get reminded very, very quickly. And it's not lost on me that are they both non-white MPs?
Yeah.
Which I think, in my opinion, will have a role to play in it as well.
I think one of them is a hijabi.
Yeah, well, yeah. So. Well, they're definitely a Muslim from the sounds of it.
Yeah.
So I think that also, in my opinion, has a role to play. But it's just hilarious, isn't it? It's that you think that after all of this, like, dick riding and, like, oh, that felt so good. After all of this, as you said, ass licking, that you thought, you know, Israel was gonna be on your side, and that you lot are allies, and that they're gonna help you out, and blah 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 blah, and they haven't.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. Who looks like Boo with a fool now?
Yeah. And the thing is now, like, obviously he said, oh, it's unacceptable. But do we think that he's actually gonna take any kind of serious action in response to this, in terms of, like,
yeah,
pushing any sanctions on Israel or reducing aid, blah blah blah? No.
Yeah, like, you've just come and paid lip service. Like, you are the foreign secretary. There needs to be a higher, because they should have, like, diplomatic immunity, really, shouldn't they?
Yeah, I think someone said that. I've seen arguments online that have said any kind of parliamentary figure traveling to any country should
have diplomatic immunity. Yeah. So they've, like, really, really breached a lot of good faith boundaries, like, between the UK and Israel, to,
and set a precedent as well. Like, what does this mean, right, then? Because I've wondered this as well. You know, like say the lay person that would choose to go and be an aid worker in Palestine. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the only way to actually get there is to go via landing in Israel, right? And then
that's what I was aware of. Yeah.
Yeah, so I've been wondering for a while, like, how are people actually able to do that?
Before October 2023, there's been, like, lots of people who have gone to Palestine, because it's always been like that. You've always had to go through Israel. A lot of people have spoken about being harassed, being detained at the borders, getting into Tel Aviv, and then, like, being questioned for, like, 5 hours of why they want to go into Palestine, being harassed by the security forces whilst they're in Palestinian territories, like, literally being followed. Like, it's not a new thing, you know?
I think that's why we do have to, whilst also obviously speaking out for the Palestinian people, continue to give credit to those that actually are on the ground there, yeah, as well.
Absolutely. You have to overcome so much, like, to get to that point. Like, Israel don't want you to be there.
Yep. And all that to actually literally risk your life, because you literally could have a bomb dropped off you on you at any point anyway.
Yeah.
Or be shot. Like, literally, oh, that's another thing that happened in the time that we spoke. The accident of that medical, the medical van, I think, like, 20 people died. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh yeah, we made a mistake, we're going to look into this. Like, what mistake? Like, what reason is there for you to have been shooting at medical aid van?
How do you mistake? Oh, I mean, it's just the same old excuses they've been coming up with for so long. Like, I'm surprised that they've gone with the excuse of it was an accident this time, and not that, oh, it was Hamas. Like, actually, they were covering for Hamas. I'm surprised. I feel like they don't really even try anymore to come up with, like, proper excuses. Like, they are at this point just doing whatever they want.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, their creative writing could use a bit of improvement.
A bit more,
like,
imagination.
Yeah. But I think the main thing to take from this is that I'm not surprised about what's happened with these two MPs. It's more been, like I say, amusing, but not in a funny way, if that makes sense, in the way that David Lammy's reacted to it.
Like, it's pathetic. It's a very pathetic response. Like, there needs to be a harsher pushback against something like that. Like, they should have diplomatic immunity. Who says it's not going to be you, David?
Literally.
Who says it's not going to be you?
Especially given his sociographic status as well.
Right. And they are, you know, your guys are supposed to be allies. Like, you've upset the vast majority of the British population. Like, you're condoning an absolute genocide to be able to be allies with this nation state. And in the end, like, they're not even giving you the benefit of entry to your, like, political personnel. Like, he needed to be a bit harsher. He's just come up and been like, oh, it's really bad. It's really unacceptable.
Well, duh.
Yeah. Thank you for stating the obvious. I could have done that. Is that what we're paying you for?
No, and all the lunches from my department. Yeah. The usual shambles.
Bad vibes, Ireland.
Final thing to talk about today is not something that's necessarily relevant time-wise. The reason I saw this was basically I was scrolling on Independent, literally looking for things for us to talk about. And I saw this article and only realized afterwards that it was actually from 2020. And basically, it was Obama speaking about, because obviously it's from 2020, it was Obama speaking in light of Trump having lost his second term. Back then, you know, when Biden got in.
Oh, and Trump boo hoo.
Barack Obama made the suggestion that American pop culture, including rap music and some TV shows, has actually helped to fuel the rise of Donald Trump. In particular, he's referring to the parts that extol materialism and emphasize wealth, status, all of that. To quote what he said, "It's interesting. People are writing about the fact that Trump increased his support among black men in the 2020 presidential election and the occasional rapper who supported Trump. I have to remind myself that if you listen to rap music, it's all about the bling, the women, the money. A lot of rap videos are using the same measures of what it means to be successful as Donald Trump is. Everything is gold-plated. That insinuates itself and seeps into the culture."
That is such a poor analysis. That is a piss poor analysis. That is awful. It is so empty.
He's basically saying that because rap music over exaggerates wealth, status, makes such a big thing about it,
and Donald Trump becomes like an ideal alignment with that kind of,
because he uses a similar sort of like methodology.
I just think that is such a poor analysis.
I think it's quite poor to say that without having any actual factual...
Firstly, yeah. Not to say that that's not a thing. I'm sure that is a phenomenon where Trump has increased his support amongst, like, black American men. I'm sure that's the case if he's come forward and said that. But you're not understanding why. And it's because hip-hop does exaggerate wealth, especially, like, in more recent times. It's not how hip hop was created as a genre, but in more recent times, yeah, it does exaggerate wealth, but that's because it's overcompensating for an institutional deficit of wealth within black communities. And that's really what you need to focus on. Like, if you're wondering, if you're sat and you're like scratching your head, like, and pointing fingers, like, oh my God, black men are like aligning themselves with Trump. Well, you have to ask yourself, like, where have they come from? What are the communities that they've come from? What are their like family histories? You know, their socioeconomic backgrounds? Why are they in a place where they are overly exaggerating wealth?
This is why I think what you said is just correct. And this is why I wanted to talk about it, because I think we are seeing a similar thing now replicating itself. And the example that comes to mind is Andrew Tate, because I think I saw a video where someone did an analysis of a certain number of Andrew Tate videos, and they actually found that whilst when it did come up, it was extreme and it was misogyny, there was only misogyny in, say, like 30% of the videos. The rest of it was actually all to do with tips about like
money
and making it. And well, that's why actually successful.
That's why a lot of young men are drawn to him. It's because he basically steeps masculinity in like financial success.
But do you think, like what you were saying, the fact that so many heads, and particularly young male heads, are being turned towards this idea of, what can I do to be the best? What can I do to make the most money? What can I do that? Is that a reflection on society as a whole in this situation that we're in now in terms of...
Yeah, a lot of people are very destitute. Yeah.
Yeah.
And for them, it's like aspirational. It's like them looking forward to... It's the same reason that people will defend like billionaires, because in their head, they think that that's going to be them one day.
One day.
Because their actual situation is so dire, you know?
Because if they don't have that hope, then what are we doing here?
Exactly.
But it's sad, and I wish that...
It's sad.
Because I've never understood it as well, because I have always thought, like, why are they all so obsessed with, like... I think the first thing that comes to mind was actually, remember when crypto really took off? And it was all, like, about, like, oh, like, invest in this, invest in that. Like, how can I make the most money? Like, this is an easy, quick way to do it. Uh-huh. And now with also the rise of TikTok and short-form content, all these clips. Like, I know we were taking the piss out of that, the one the other day with the movie team, where it was like, congratulations, you just made your first $1,000, $10,000 or whatever.
Yeah.
But ultimately, that's what these people are consuming. That's what they do really well on socials. All these clips that are supposedly about ways to better yourself financially.
It's all steeped in, like you said, in this idea of like the new age man, like you got to make money and you got to be financially successful. And that's what's going to like bring women to you. And that's what's going to make you happy. And that's what's going to make you accomplished like as a man.
Yeah.
And that is a huge reason why people are drawn to Andrew Tate.
And it's so weird because I'm not...
It's so funny because it is literally a very like hip-hop-esque type of motto where it's like, fuck bitches, get money. You know, like it's literally his entire brand.
Whereas that came from, although obviously that statement in itself is misogynistic and etc., that came from, like you say,
destitution.
Whereas this is coming from, how can I capitalize on that mentality for myself, making everyone believe that they can have as much money and status as Andrew Tate. Don't know why you would want to have the same amount of status as Andrew Tate, but yeah, it's mad though, because I just think about, like you're saying about these kids, thinking about what it means to be a man and like growing up in that, and I think when I think back to when I was that age, for me, it was always the case of, okay, what's going to happen is going to go to uni eventually, like find someone, settle down, have a family, blah, blah, blah. Like I'll have a job, whatever. Mm. It was never, okay, I need to think, like, how am I going to like get to the best? I need to be the best of the best. Like the second, like, what am I doing? Like, I'm still in school, but why am I not working now?
Yeah, like, but I think that speaks to the fact that you had, like, you probably had more of a secure masculinity, which I think shows in the way that you are now. Like, you don't need to feel too overly prescribed and blah, blah, blah. I do think it speaks ultimately to a crisis of masculinity. I've said this so many times, but it is a crisis of masculinity. Like, men are not sure of what it means to be a man, or like as times are changing, like, because there have been so many diverging kind of conceptualizations of what gender is and what gender roles are in society. I think men are just confused, you know, and instead for them to just be like, you know what, there is no monolithic one way of being a man, and being a man is what I deem as it is for myself in my life.
This is exactly what I was thinking, because I don't know if you've seen, but Slow Drag, I've been doing a series recently of
what does it mean to be a man?
I was watching that, I was thinking that, oh, if that was me, what would I say? And honestly, what I would say was...
Whatever it means to you.
I would respond by saying, the questions are irrelevant, to be honest, because like there's literally no answer.
Yeah.
Like to me, what does it mean to be a man? I'm just like, well, what does it mean to be a man? Like, there's no set way to be a man. It's just something that you happen to be.
Right.
Like, it doesn't mean anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think especially like you were saying in terms of being secure in your own masculinity, I think my thing has just been growing up, I definitely didn't conform to like the norms of like masculinity, but I also...
I think that's why you were able to resist against those ideas.
And
of,
I
like,
just didn't care. Like, I was just like, I enjoy... I say I don't care. I didn't care in the sense that I like would like kind of own it, but that doesn't mean that I wasn't then also felt like really sad about it and felt like, oh, like particularly when people like bully and whatever and be like, oh, like, why am I like this and not like that? But also, like you say, it kind of has led to the point where I'm just kind of just like up looked and nose, like, what is this?
You'd rather be on this side than the other side of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's just, I think masculinity and even femininity, any kind of gender performance is what you ascribed to yourself and your own life and your own relationships.
Yeah.
And there shouldn't be like a universal force on that.
Yeah. Interesting tangent we ended up on there, but I feel like not necessarily
an excuse to bash Andrew Force. Andrew Tate.
Right. Well, let's let you get off then. Thank you everyone for tuning in today.
Short episode.
Yeah.
Short but sweet.
Yeah. Right. Thank you everyone. We will see you next week. Enjoy the sunshine while it lasts. Goodbye.
Oh, it's not gonna last, is it?